This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round. Today we have got a very special guest, longtime friend of Rage Rowdy, somebody I haven't seen her in a long time. I'm very happy to have her. We got our girl, Katie Dempsey, also known as Demps. Girl, how's it going?
The one and only Damps.
Damps. How have you been doing?
Oh, man. I'm all over the damn place.
I feel like that's on brand, though. That's how you've always been.
It really is. It's like every day I wake up and I'm like checking my calendars or something, and I'm just like, what am I doing again today? But I saw that I was coming to hang out with you guys. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Okay, so yeah, I'm here. It's good. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And I first met you through, I want to say it was back in the day. It was when I was still working with Trey Lewis.
Yeah, I was going to be like, dude, remind me how I know you
Trey,
again.
Yeah, we were. It was back with Trey during COVID. And I think it was between Trey and Josh Terry.
Josh Terry.
That's how far back we go. It was like during the pandemic. It was 2020, 2021, somewhere in there. I remember when you were first starting to come up here in Nashville.
Yeah, because I was living in the outskirts of Nashville. I was living in like my little country home, like shotgunning my beers down my driveway. And then I had a stalker and then it all ruined it for me. So now I'm like hiding out in the city somewhere. So nobody can find me.
Hell yeah. So how long have you been up here in the Nashville metro area?
Gosh, like I literally just thought about this the other day. I was like, damn, 2 years? 2 years. I've saved a lot of gas money, but it seems like I live in my car every day because I'm like going to do something everywhere. Like I wish I could track, you know, the red lines, you know, where you're like going through it throughout the day. But yeah, 2 years I've been living smack dab in the city.
Yeah. How long have you been in Tennessee?
Since I was 15.
Oh, so you, okay. So you're from Florida originally, but you're pretty much a Tennessean now.
Anytime I go back home, because I have the best of both worlds, like I can just hop in the car and go, you know, book it on my nana's couch or my grandma's couch or whoever. But anytime I'm back home, I'm like, damn, I miss the valleys of Tennessee. Like, I just miss the sunshine. Like, no matter what, I will always be a Plant City girl. Shout out Plant City.
Hell yeah.
Home of the damn strawberries. But I just a Tennessee girl. Like I had the option of just moving back home, being closer to like my nana and all that. But you know, Tennessee's home. It's such a great place, like raising my kid on my own and everything. It's a lot more affordable, that's for fucking sure. But yeah, been here since the recession. People will be like, well, how did you get here? You know, it's a conversation starter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, recession 2009. And they like get all silent. They're like, oh, I'm like, yeah. But I remember moving here. And, you know, if you're familiar with Murfreesboro wasn't Murfreesboro what it is now, right?
No,
you
got like, not at all.
It's so crazy how much Murfreesboro has grown. But I used to live off of New Salem. And there were nothing but a tobacco outlet and a fucking Domino's, right?
Yeah.
And I remember going to our new house and I remember looking at my mama. I'm like, where the fuck did you move us to? This is some bullshit. Like I went to Blackman High School.
Okay.
I was like, I can't wear holes in my jeans. Like it was such like a culture shock, you know, being raised in Florida where we're wearing like short shorts, hot as hell, you know, and everything. But I think for the better, it was such a great, like, I can't thank my parents enough for just up and moving us to Tennessee.
Yeah. Murfreesboro's cool, too. Like, Whiskey Dicks and, like, you can have some fun in Murfreesboro. The borough doesn't get enough love.
Oh, man, I thought about getting a hotel out there and raising hell at Whiskey Dicks. They got a new one out there.
Yeah, I haven't been to the new one. I've been to the OG.
Oh, the OG? Yeah, watch your drinks.
That place was wild.
Watch your drinks, for sure. I've had some... Yeah, maybe not on this podcast. We won't talk about it, but I've had some pretty fun nights at Whiskey Dick.
Yeah. So when did music become a part of your life? Because I know you popped on socials, and that's really you haven't changed who you are. Like you just let people in.
Yeah, pretty much. So I get asked this all the time. I'm like, they're like, well, how did music become such a big part of you? And I'm like, well, music has always been a part of me.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I started doing things on TikTok. I mean, I was putting a trending sound or somebody that needed help, you know, getting their song promoted, I would be like, well, let me just do it. You know what I mean? Like, let me just put on a cute outfit, because I was promoting, you know, independent boutiques at the time. I would slap on a cute outfit, shotgun a beer down my driveway, and it would help, you know, get views on the song. But music has always just been there. I just think, you know, going into it now, putting out my own music and putting my voice into
which sounds great, by the way. Sick. We love what you're doing.
But the thing is, it's like it's always been a part of me musically. You know, being a divorced kid and all of that. I mean, there's a lot of trauma to unpack here. And one, I've never been to therapy for anything, you know, for my domestic violence or just my childhood trauma. And then I discovered songwriting. You know, I always envied artists, and I would always ask them, like, man, how the hell do you put this down on paper and just put it in a song? And it clicked in me. They were like, well, Demps, do you see it in your head? I'm like, well, yeah. I'm so good at acting things out comically, like making comedy skits. They're like, well, just put it down in a song. I'm like, oh, so pretty much just singing about it. I guess I could have thought of that. I didn't really think of that. And so now that's how I got into like songwriting and just releasing my own music. I mean, I had the opportunity of working with Jimmy Robbins. Like,
yeah, he's a monster in the studio. Incredible.
Just that whole family. I love them so much. But they had a project and they reached out to me because, mind you, I've been in song promotion, so I know people. And they're like, Demps, we have a project. You know, Kelsey has this song. She doesn't want to put it out, but we think you'd be a great fit. And I'm like, well, what's the damn song? And they were like, Bitch on Wine. I was like, oh, well, that sounds right up my damn alley.
You're like, I've been that bitch on wine.
Yeah. Well, not really. I'm a fun drunk. I'm not mean or anything.
Well,
but
I mean, bitch isn't like a female. Like, you've consumed some wine.
Yeah, I'll tell you how it is for sure, dude. But and that's just how it all came about of me putting out my own music. You know, went from, I mean, granted, I'm still promoting music. I got a Morgan Wallen song promo the other day, and I was like, it only took 4 years, but damn, all right, yeah, I'll promote his song.
Which song was it?
It was his new one, A Little Crazy, and everything. Yeah, I was like, damn, about damn time, you guys see me.
How does that world work? And it's like, because sometimes you'll have like an upbeat song that you're promoting, and that's one where you can dance to. And then there's one that's a little bit slower, like that one. Like, how do you change? How do you do it? Because I feel like you have to script it out. Like, one, you're you. You're just a ball of energy. And
well,
you
might catch me
that
on a bad day, and I'm like, yeah, this is perfect. Yeah. This fits my mood today. Honestly, you know, when I was song and people ask me, like, how do you get into song promotions? It's like a world people don't really talk about because people don't want to say, oh, we're paying people to get our music out there.
Yeah.
And everything.
But it's advertising. It's advertising and it's marketing through a person and through your following and all of that. It's no different than running an ad on the radio or sticking a billboard up somewhere.
Yeah, and you could look at it that way, but I saw an opportunity. I took it. I was like, hell yeah, I'll promote your music if you pay me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it all really started happening after Nate Smith, Whisking on You, after I got that trending and everything. And I even put in my bio, I will promote your music promoter and everything. And like, here we are, like 5 years later, I'm still doing it. But you have to get into character, I guess, you know, and like, you know, obviously if they're paying you good money, you really want to get views on the song. So I'm really good at fucking with the internet.
Yeah.
Either if it's like, and I'm telling, I don't want to spill all my secrets.
No, we're not asking you to.
Yeah, but you know, there is a madness. What is it?
A method to your madness?
Yeah, madness to whatever.
Madness to the method.
I have a learning disability. I'm dyslexic.
So do I. So, okay, so yours is dyslexia. Mine's ADHD. So
dude,
I'm
I spelled my happy birthday wrong for my kid's birthday banner the other day.
Really?
I spelled it wrong.
What letters were out of place?
The R and the I on birthday. And I'm posting it on IG story, like, look what I did. And somebody was like, you bitch, you spelled it wrong still. I was like, damn. So anyway, I don't want to give away like all my secrets on like, you know, how I do it and everything. But just know that like, I've had friends in the music industry, like famous artists. They're like, Demps, the way that you made this like a full-time living, it's like amazing. And I'm like, I must be pretty good at my job of fucking with the internet for so many years.
Yeah, let's back up into what you were doing before music. Obviously, proud single mom, former bail bondsman,
and
cosmetologist. So talk about life before the internet became like your occupation. Like, what's bail bondsman like and cosmetologist? Because you're always looking good. You take great care of yourself.
Oh, thank
appearance.
You. The
you're
Botox is working. Okay, good.
and that's a write-off because you're that Botox can be a write-off.
I don't pay for it.
Hell yeah.
I don't pay for it. Shh, you can edit that out. But I love my girl. I love my girl.
Yeah.
Dude, the resume is hefty. Anything like it is so true. You fake it until you fucking make it.
Yeah.
Okay. And mind you, you know. I wasn't born into a rich family. You know, I was, my daddy was a truck driver, blue collared man, worked hard all his life, never went to college and, you know, yada, yada, you're simple folk. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, my mama, she's on her third husband. Okay. Like you could just see the lifestyle I had growing up. So if I wanted something, I had to fucking work for it. So I will learn any trade. I will do it. I may not know what the fuck I'm doing, but I'll learn it. So when it comes to bail bondsman, I found this guy. He was like, well, you're a pretty chick. You could set guys up on through Facebook that ran out on their bond. I can't believe I'm telling this story. I would set guys up. They would run out on their bond and I would slide in their DMs like, hey, you want to smoke a blunt or something, you know, you hold in, you know, and I would set them up and then I would go to their house. And mind you, as I'm at the door, there's two big beefy 6 foot dudes, you know, waiting to handcuff them, you know,
like Dog the Bounty Hunter guys. Yes. Wow.
Yeah. So bam, I had to quit that gig because I was so nervous of like finding someone or somebody finding me in Walmart with my kid. Like, you bitch, you've set me up. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say it's the best, safest job, but I did make some good money.
Yeah. Okay. And again, that's you finding a way where you have to provide for yourself and your little one where you have to do it. And then cosmetology, you strike me as somebody that would be a great cosmetologist, hairdresser, like in that world.
So that actually didn't really happen because I was such a bad kid growing up. My senior year, mind you, I was living in Blackman, not living in Blackman, Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to graduate high school. People think that, like, you know, oh, Demps must have been the popular kid in high school and all that. That was not the case. Yeah. I was such an outsider. I didn't have many friends. And the only friends I did have, it was my brother's friends. Like, I hung out with a lot of guys at the time. So, you know, people had this perception and persona of me like, oh, she's like, you know what I mean? But I just got along better with guys because I have a twin brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So in high school, I was an outcast. I was, you know, doing things I shouldn't have been doing, skipping school, you know, pothead. But I got shipped off to Pittsburgh. So that's how I lived in Pittsburgh for a little minute and then graduated high school up there. And then while I was a senior, I went to trade school and became a cosmetologist at the age of 18. Didn't know what the fuck I was doing. How I passed, I don't fucking know. And I still have a horror story of like, take this guy comes in for a fade, right? And I'm like, bet, I got you.
Like, I got this. I got you, dude.
Mind you, straight out of beauty school, I get hired at this chain salon called Bo Ricks or whatever.
Bo Ricks.
And I'm living in smack dab in the city. This guy comes in and I went in with it too short. Like, comes in with fade. I'd almost take his ear off and straight bald over his ear. And that's when I was like, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, granted, I trim my daughter's hair and all that. I'll zhuzh my own hair up with some highlights, but that wasn't me. And then, mind you, I got pregnant at a young age. You know, I went through domestic violence at such a young age. And then that's when I went to medical assisting school. I worked in, what is it called? God bless it. I haven't worked in the field so long, I can't even fucking remember.
Yeah.
But I became a medical assistant, worked in pediatrics and TOA and all that.
See, something about all three of those, whether it's
a lot.
Whether it's bail bonds, whether it's cosmetology, or whether it's in the medical field, you're working with people.
Mm-hmm.
You're around people. You're seeing how people work. You're having conversations with people, and you're understanding how to make them laugh, how to get through to them. And I think that all of those experiences, believe it or not, led you to where you're at, where you're connecting with them through a phone or through a computer.
We didn't even get into when I got old people out of timeshares. Or how I got hired at Dell Technologies.
Yeah, you're learning how to talk to people. Talk about that. Talk about the old people with the timeshares, because old people get stuck in the timeshares.
Don't fall for it. Bless their heart.
What was that job called? Like, how long did you do that?
They made me write rebuttals to the bank. Mind you, I have a learning disability. I don't know how to spell.
You're dyslexic. You're writing on behalf.
I got fired. And I think that company went bankrupt.
How long did you do that?
Like 6 months. Like I said, you faked it, you make it, man. Yeah. Until anything to pay the fucking bills. And then,
so when does social media become the
thing? Oh, we're
getting
there.
Okay, we're still getting there. All right, and then you said Dell Technologies?
Yeah, I finally got hired at Dell Technologies. And how I got this fucking job, I will still to this day will never know. I pretty much lied through my fucking teeth, like through on a Zoom call. Mind you, I'm wearing pajamas and a blazer, my hair all pinned up, and I'm just like, yeah, I know about computing and software data. Yeah, I got it, you know? Yeah. And I got hired at Dell and went through the training. Mind you, they want me to sell software to like corporations, like schools, like how many units and...
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what's in a fucking computer.
So it's numbers and information.
Yeah. Yeah. So mind you, like COVID is like, it's like 2021. I made a TikTok, you know, I might have like 5,000 followers. And I just started doing it for fun. And then I started growing, you know, just me and my daughter just sharing my life, being my comical self. And then as I'm working with Dell Technologies, every break that I got, you know, mind you, the TikTok was a lot different than now it is what it is now.
Yes, yeah.
But I would post like 8 videos a day.
Wow. You just spam the account with as much content as you could.
Yeah, and every video, 100,000 views. Wow. 100,000 views. 100,000 views. Now if I post 8 videos a day, people are going to be like, oh my God, Demps is having a fucking manic episode. I can't do that now.
Yeah.
You do it like spread it out on different platforms.
Yeah.
But I remember having a break. You know, 5-minute break, 10-minute break, and I would hurry up, throw on an outfit, go act like I'm shotgunning a beer. Mind you, I didn't even get the beer in my mouth, okay?
Yeah.
I would just punch it and do it for video effect. Maybe, like, take a sip and throw it and everything. But it was almost to 2022, I started seeing that, like, wow, I can do this for a living. Mind you, I wasn't making a lot of money, but I was making some money enough to pay my rent. You know, and that was just good enough for me.
Which is still a good chunk of money. If you can pay your rent off something, you're making pretty decent money.
That's something I love. Like, I'm supporting small boutiques. You know, they're sending me stuff. I promote them. And then, you know, I could put a trending sound. And this is before, you know, song promotion and everything. But I just saw, like, you know what? This makes me happy. This makes me so happy. And then I started doing lives, you know, putting on a mullet, a cigarette, you know, entertaining people. I don't really do that now. I used to call it getting awkward, just fucking with people.
Oh, and just make it awkward.
Awkward as fuck, dude. Yeah. But now I don't really do that anymore. It's like a rarely I do that. I'm too tired.
Yeah.
I'm in bed by 9. But I just saw something and I was like, you know what? I'm going to believe in myself and I do this. And sure as hell, I messaged my manager and I was like, this is my resignation of quitting Dell Technologies. Thank you so much for the opportunity, but I'm out, you know? And then I grew, I was like at 300,000 when I quit my job. And man, I've been risking it every fucking since. Here we are.
Well, there's something, people talk about it in music. Like when you move to a lot of people, when they move to this town, they're betting on themselves. And they're betting on themselves as a songwriter, as an artist. Yeah, try it. Yeah, go for it. That's what it's there for.
Surfside.
Yeah, please drink it. Yeah, they're great.
Iced tea plus vodka.
Yeah.
All right, proceed.
Yeah, give it a try. But so many people bet on themselves, and that's part of like moving to anywhere and pursuing your dreams, and that's no different than you pursuing yourself, you know, like pursuing What you want to do? Oh, yeah. Those are dangerous. Yeah. Surfside. No bubbles, no troubles. Sunshine in a can.
No bubbles, no troubles.
That's their motto.
Do you guys have like a sponsor for this?
We do. Yeah. And I don't even drink.
I don't really drink either. It kind of makes me nauseous.
Like,
but
those taste like sweet tea. Yeah. From what I've been told. We'll hook you up with some Surfsides at the end. I got an 8-pack over there with your name on it.
Damn, those are good.
Yeah, you can enjoy it. Yeah. But you bet on yourself by doing the social media stuff and find something that you love and getting to do that.
And it's honestly, awesome. People just think that like, oh, she's rich. She has like a million followers and all that.
That is not the case.
Not the fucking case. And if it is the case, I must really suck at my fucking job. Okay. I explained this earlier. I was like, influencing is like commission, right? You're a walking fucking ad and nobody talks about it enough. And everything. As an influencer, you are a walking ad and you have to promote yourself every fucking day and be consistent. You know, like I said, TikTok has changed so much. I mean, I would go viral once a week. Now it's like, if I'm not, you know, talking about or promoting something or shoving something in your face, it's hard to get views now.
Yeah.
And all of that. But like, influencing is like, it's pretty much commission. And you have to be selling shit. It's like QBC on that bitch now.
Yeah.
You have to be selling shit to make money now and all that. And yeah, influencing. Oh, man, if I could just, you know, start making more money off my music now than influencing, I will stop selling shit.
Yeah.
TikTok
shit. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like the music that you've gotten to put out, you've gotten to cut outside cuts by some huge names. Like you talk about Bitch on Wine with it being Kelsey and Nicole and Jimmy. And then if you were a country girl, that's a damn Hardy song.
Dude, like, that
you
know song how hard did not get enough credit.
Do you know how hard it is to cut songs written by those guys and girls?
Hardy, I remember I saw him at Raising Cane's. I was like, dude, thank you so much. I'm the one who cut it. And he was like, no way. And I was like, yeah, thank you so much. But I love that song, and I hope this summer it makes a comeback. That's like the first song I like start off a show with, you know, get people fired up.
Yeah,
you know?
It's high energy.
Yeah, it is, and it's like a little rappy and all that.
Yeah.
Man, still makes me sad. That song didn't get enough credit. Maybe we need to bring it back this summer.
Let's do it.
Still has a chance, man.
We're down. It's rowdy as fuck. It's definitely on Ray's rowdy brand for us.
Again, you know, with song promotion and music, that's how I got into putting out my own music.
It's
because, you know, I worked and helped with so many artists.
Yeah.
And that's how I love to sing. Yeah. I've always been in choir. I played the violin, believe it or not. Like, I've been in, you know, a theater kid my whole life and everything. I was like, hell yeah. And I can remember the first time I stepped in that booth. And singing Bitch on Wine, it felt like, well, I've been doing this my whole life. Like, okay, this is so much fun. No wonder I have so many friends who do this for a living. Like, you know what I mean? So it just literally, I don't want to say it came like natural, but it felt so natural and everything.
Yeah, everybody has their calling of what they're supposed to be doing. There's always a plan. And it seems like your plan is to entertain people, whether it's you singing or it's you putting a video up and making somebody laugh or somebody smile or sharing the struggles that you've gone through, making them cry and relate. Yeah, but you're meant to be in front of people.
No wonder I can't keep a relationship. It's so
What's the love life like for
dude? It's so dry. The only freaking action I'm getting is my gynecologist lately. Like, it's so fucking dry these days. I'm over it.
How is it? Is it because it's just difficult with being in the public or in the grind of social media and the music to where it's tough to find time while also parenting? Or what's the...
No, I found a balance. And the last one, man, he really did a number on me. I really thought he was the one. But the thing is like, I have such bad trust issues now because I don't know. It's like, well, they want a platform and I give these men a platform. And it's like, well, fuck me, man. Yeah. I really loved you, dude. And you just... fuck it all up. But nah, the love life is pretty dry right now. I think I'm so focused on just myself and my career and my baby girl. I mean, I'm not looking. You know what I mean? I'm not finding myself on dating apps. I did that one night. on Facebook dating. And
that
I was
sounds like a mess.
Fuck am I doing? Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's like you talk about these. You give these guys a platform. It's like, are they wanting to date Demps or are they wanting to date Katie?
There's
a difference in that.
Mm-hmm. And man, it's when you open up to a man and be vulnerable and tell him about all the shit that you've been through. You know, they just like, they're like, oh, this bitch scares me. I gotta go. You know what I mean? Maybe it's because I'm dating boys and not real men.
Yeah, there's probably a difference. Probably a difference. Talk about your baby girl a little bit, because I get to spend a lot of time. My girlfriend is a single mom, and I spend a lot of time with her and her little girl that's 6 years old. So I watch a lot of Bluey.
Fucking love Bluey, dude.
Bluey might be the best of all of them.
And you know, if they need help writing out more episodes, call your girl Demps, okay? I heard the writer has a hard time coming up with more episodes. Call me. My little girl is a little spitfire. I was such a bad kid, like I said. It came back and bit me in my ass.
How old is she now?
5 times harder. She just turned 9 this past
she's
weekend.
She's getting older.
Yeah, she's taking my makeup and she definitely has her own like little opinion, that's for sure. But honestly, I love her that she has her own opinion and she'll speak up if she doesn't like something or she feels uncomfortable. Yeah. You know, that's the little girl I'm raising. You know, she's a little sassy ass. Yeah. She makes me cry sometimes.
What are some examples of her being sassy?
Oh my God, I'll tell her like for the 5th time to put on her shoes and socks, we gotta go. You know, school starts in like 20 minutes and she'll just turn her head and be like, can you see I'm doing something?
Oh.
You little... She just has like a little attitude. Blonde hair, blue eyed. She's definitely not going to put up with any man's shit or anybody's shit, if that, you know. Granted, she's a little eavesdropper. She sees what goes on behind the scenes, you know, listening to things she shouldn't be listening to when mommy's on the phone. And granted, she worries about stuff she shouldn't be worried about at her age, you know, like finances and everything. So like her little brain, she's definitely a lot more mature than what a typical 9-year-old should be.
Yeah, does she have a love for music? Have you gotten her singing, like bopping around in the car seat when you're driving her around and stuff?
Oh yeah, she'll always come up to me. She goes, "Mommy, what about this song title?"
That's got to be so fun for you though.
Yeah, it is.
That she has an interest and she has that creative mind like you've always had.
She's such a goofball. She definitely takes after me when it comes to acting out sounds and doing videos with me and everything. Her little personality and character, I'm just like, oh my God. I'm going to be in for it. That's for fucking sure.
Has she been to a concert yet?
Oh my God. The girl's been, we just went to Kane Brown. Like, she always comes back, goes to concerts with me, but she's so spoiled. She's like, well, are we in VIP?
Oh.
I'm like, no, girl. Like my best friend Priscilla
everything.
You know, sometimes when we go to her shows, you know, even though that's my best friend, sometimes I don't get VIP access, okay?
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, leave it for other fans and all that. Like, girl, I'll see you at home or whatever.
Yeah, like, I want to just go watch your concert. Yeah. I want to watch you and your
leave.
Band.
I'll call you later, girl. Yeah. And Lily's like, what do you mean we're not in VIP? And I'm like, Lil, like...
You talk about Priscilla, and she's somebody that I've known for a long time. Mm. I remember I met her BC before COVID when she was still
BC.
Out there. I always like to say BC because everybody's lives changed after that 2020, 2021 time. You talk about somebody who has worked her ass off and knows her brand, knows how to market. Talk about your friendship with Priscilla and just how you two have hit it off.
People ask me all the time, like, how did me and her become friends? And it was right after COVID, BC.
Yeah.
She was just putting out her first album. This bar just came out. And it was actually for her friend Kara, who is one of my dearest friends.
Yeah, I love
Kara
too.
Yeah,
she's
you want to talk
homie.
About a rowdy one.
Yeah.
Kara, love you, girl. Kara is someone who introduced me to Priscilla and showed my videos to Priscilla and was like, dude, we need to hang out with this girl. And they flew me out to Vegas. And
what a first place to meet.
I
you
go
and
to
Chris in Vegas?
Yeah, I go to Vegas by myself for her album release. I'm meeting her whole family, like, in all of this. And then, honestly, just, that's just how it all started, I guess. There ain't much there. But, you know, Priscilla, you know, being a content creator doing music, you know, I looked at Priscilla one time and I was like, well... I don't want people to look at me that like what the hell is she doing? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Oh, she's doing music all of a sudden? Like, the fuck? Like, just because she has a platform, you know how haters always like, yeah. Everybody wants to be a singer, you know, and all that. And people are rude as hell when it comes to that. But Priscilla, I remember her looking at me and I told her about the deal I got in releasing my first song. She looked at me, she goes, bitch, that is so fucking amazing. Do it. Do it. And I looked at her and I was like, that was like the most heartwarming thing to say, you know? Because I don't want people to look at me like a joke. Like, it's almost like a joke, right? Like, oh, you were a content creator, you do comedy videos. Like, what are you doing releasing music and now you're going to go on tour and do all these shows? You know, it's almost like people are preying on your downfall and everything. And I remember just Priscilla just being such a dear friend, just like, fucking do it, bitch.
Yeah.
You got nothing to lose. I'm like, yeah, I ain't got nothing to lose.
Yeah, you never want to be the person that looks back 5-10 years down the road being like, what if I did do that? What if I did go through that door?
That's my whole motto. I don't want to be laying on my, you know, bed still hitting my vape like, damn, I should have did it, you know? And here I am. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But right now, in this time, I'm having so much damn fun writing music and just putting it out. And I think, you know, my music would be a lot different because it could probably resonate with a lot of mamas.
Yes.
Who've been through some fucking shit.
Yeah.
In shitty relationships, just men just saying they breadcrumbing. I wrote a song about breadcrumbing. I'll have to show it to
you. What is breadcrumbing?
Breadcrumbing.
I don't even know that motto, that slang. I don't know what that means.
The terminology for breadcrumbing?
Yeah.
Dude, my ex was like the biggest breadcrumbing. He would just feed you, tell you you're beautiful, you're amazing, and lay out crumbs for you. And it would feed your soul, right? You would believe it. Like, oh, he really loves me. Oh my gosh, yeah. And just manipulate you into thinking you're in love. Meanwhile, he's not in love at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And by the end of the day, you just get your heart ripped out. So men, I can't stand a breadcrumbing man. Got a good song out of it though.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just been having so much fun writing music and with my friends, and I'm so excited for the next couple releases that are going to be coming out. I play my first 90-minute gig next Friday.
Where is it at?
In Ohio, Edgewater Racetrack.
Ooh.
Get you some.
That's exciting. What's the touring life been like? Is that something that I'm sure you never anticipated doing when you first start posting videos on TikTok and then it leads to music and all this? You never anticipate going around the country and people paying money to come out and see you and your band perform.
No, it's not even that. People were, the places where I'm playing at, they're paying me to come out.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
What? Like, let's hope I don't fuck it up. Yeah. No, but I haven't really done it yet. I mean, granted, I've been playing shows. Like, I just played Whiskey Jam a couple weeks ago. That was so much fun.
Hell yeah.
And it's almost like a rush. But I will never forget my first show, getting up in front of a crowd singing my songs. I went and threw up in the bathroom. I'm a puking rally girl. I went and threw up in the bathroom and I like rinsed my mouth with some water. I put my, you know, my in-ears in. I said, let's fucking do this.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck it. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
And I can't describe the feeling, the energy of getting up in front of a crowd. And the best part is them singing your songs back. And it's this is really happening. This is so cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll have to get you to play a Raised Rowdy event soon.
Mm-hmm.
We would love to have you
play
on one
country
of our Rowdy
Girl.
Wednesday. Oh, yeah. Oh, please do.
If you were country. I love that damn song.
Yeah, you sing the hell out of it. Tell me about Boy Bye. That is, to me, is as good of a title for a Dem song as there could possibly be. It's right up there with all the other releases.
So Boy Bye, mind you, I've been dabbling into songwriting. But after I released all the other songs that, you know, Hardy, Kelsey Ballerini, Mara Morris, and all that, I wrote Boy Bye with Caitlin Curtis and Brooke. And I remember the night before going into that room, I get a text from this fucker. And I was driving back home from dinner, and Lily Lynn's in the car. I was just like, ugh. And Lily looks at me. She goes, what? I was like, so-and-so texted me. And she goes, boy, bye. And I was like, I looked at her. And I was like, huh. And this is a true story. And I give my daughter, she should have some publishing credits on this and everything.
Yeah.
But she's going to Universal a lot. So there's your credit.
Yeah.
But it came to me, boy, bye. Boy, bye. And that's how it all came about with my two friends who helped me write it. It was about an ex.
Yeah.
Obviously. And to be a fly on the wall in that room while we were writing that, because it was so much fun to fucking write. And then I got to sing it on TV, which was really nerve-wracking as fuck.
What TV show were you on?
It was like Channel 2 or something, Nashville.
Oh, they had you on like the morning, the local morning news.
Yeah.
You're like, are you sure you want me on the local news?
I know. It's like, somebody fucked up. Somebody's getting fired. But
that's
no,
awesome.
Boy, bye. It was honestly, it was such a great, the first song to come out that I've written, I couldn't be thankful that it was boy, bye.
Yeah. Because
it's such a, like a girl anthem, like boy, bye. Like,
yeah.
Fuck you.
I feel like that's something that you and Priscilla both do very well. You guys boy, write bye. Anthems that the girls can sing at shows.
No, I can't compete with Block, man. Her anthems are like.
Well, I'm saying you each have like anthems though, and I think that's part of the reason you guys are such close friends. Is you guys are similar people.
Yeah, know? And granted, when it came to like the heartbreaks, going back to the heartbreaks, you know, I even showed her Boy Bye in the lyrics, and she goes, Demps, that's fucking good, girl. Songwriting's hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It takes a lot to put it in a song and make it a decent fucking song.
Yeah.
Like, you're not like a, you know, putting out shitty music and everything. It's definitely a skill that didn't really come easy. You had to navigate on how to songwrite. But yeah, Boy Bye, that's how it came out. My daughter said it to me, and then I got in a room with two of my friends, and we wrote it, cut a demo, and then, yeah, here we are.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Tell me about the podcast. Tell me about Get You Some.
Get You Some.
Get You Some.
I'm not doing that anymore.
You know, well, tell me about when you were doing it. Like, what was it like having a podcast?
It was, and you can cut all this out, but I think I took a step back from podcasting. I was with Hooch Country, who fucked me over.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, we can. Yep, we'll cut that. Like, there you go. At 37 minutes. My bad about that. I'm sorry. I'm going off the notes of like what I had.
Okay, like, cool.
Ready? Come back. 1, 2, 3. So you're influenced by a lot of different things. You talk a lot about like your real life and what you've been through and everything, but you grow up listening to music and you talk about like these girl anthems and some of your favorites. You love obviously a lot of the newer stuff, but you love the old shit. You love Patsy Cline. You love Tanya Tucker. Like even going into like pop stuff like Whitney Houston, how much did what you were listening to growing up like influence you as an artist?
Well, a lot of people don't know this. My daddy was a full-on rocker dude. Like, he has gauges, tatted hands, like, everything. I grew up listening to, like, King Diamond, and a lot of people don't know who King Diamond is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the 70s, had white face paint and
all
of that. Ozzy Osbourne, all the classics, Journey, Boston, like, just all the year classics. So I was definitely an old soul when it comes to rock music. I love some alternative music as well.
Like
The Used, the story, what is it? Story of the Year or, you know what I'm talking about?
Might be Story of the Year,
Story of
I'm
the
familiar
year.
With The Used,
Atreyu.
Oh, fuck, you're becoming the bull.
Like, I always went to, you know, Warped Tour growing up. Paramore, till this day, I'm still a Paramore fan.
Yeah.
So when it comes to, country as well, don't get me wrong, my little sweet Southern Nana, her blasting Patsy Cline or Tammy Wynette or Johnny Cash, those are all you're going to be like your staples, right?
Because
that's what they grew up with and they pass it on to us, you know?
Yeah.
Riding in my granddaddy's truck, you know, putting Randy Travis on and all that. So when it came to finding my sound, it's like, well, how can I incorporate country with rock, you know, anthem, make it like my sound with like a little bit country twang, but rockish. And I think that's how I wanted Boy Bye to sound. Mind you, you know, I grew up in a trailer with Avril Lavigne and Christina Aguilera on my walls, but my daddy was blaring fucking Slipknot. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, I was raised and around by so much genre of music. And mind you, my mama is still stuck in the 80s. So growing up around her music as well,
yeah,
like soul and everything. So yeah, I'm a soul girly. Motown is my shit too.
Hell yeah.
I love me some Motown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Motown yacht rock, like throwing a little Hall & Oates or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not Hall & Oates,
but the group like yacht rock.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're talking what,
like Motown? Stevie Wonder, okay. Like the old,
like Superstitions, so, yeah. All that.
Every yeah. Superstitious writings on the wall. I mean, I still play that almost every morning on vinyl.
Yeah,
you know, Diana Ross. I'm a Motown soul girly at heart, but I was exposed to so much noise and sound.
Yeah.
So trying to find my sound, my voice, what, you know, how I can sing and all that. Because, you know, yeah, I can hit the Whitney Houston notes, you know, let me warm up a little bit. But, you know, what I'm comfortable singing and what I love to sound like is just that soul grunge, yeah. You know, mixed yeah. with a little rock and roll.
Yeah. You talked about Nana a little bit. What's it like having like a strong Southern woman?
Nana?
Yeah, talk about Nana from like growing
she
up.
She terrifies me a little bit. I'm like,
I feel like that's how a Nana is supposed to be. Like, they love you, but they also put a healthy dose of the fear of God in you.
She's like this 4'9", 5', short, blonde hair tease to hide to heaven. And I just found out recently that my reels were getting shared on Facebook. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Nana. Like, I just found out, like, my IG post and IG reels were getting shared to Facebook. And mind you, that's nothing but Christian folk, family.
Yeah,
that
Facebook's
follow me.
For family, Insta's for business.
I didn't know. It was like for a brand deal. Two of them had to be linked or something. Yeah. I didn't know. But my Nana, oh, bless her. I absolutely love her so much. She still lives in Plant City, Florida. But yeah, she was always one I would run barefoot because we lived behind her house in her trailer, and I would run barefoot on that gravel road to go make pancakes with her and just doing like that. I think that's how I knew how to be a homemade woman, the one that I am now. Like, she taught me how to cook.
Yeah.
She taught me how to be the caring person. I mean, granted, I love my mama, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But me and her, that's a different podcast, okay? I love my mama, love you Tammy, but to see the sweet side of like what a Southern woman is, I learned that from my Nana.
Yeah.
And I love her so much.
Yeah, there's a different relationship between like a mom and a Nana and like different members of the family.
I like to, you know, think I'm her favorite grandkid. Okay. I'm my favorite child of my mom's out of four, so
that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like a fun topic at holidays.
Yeah, yeah. What are holidays like at the family household? Like, do you still go back to Florida, or do they come up here to Tennessee, or how does that all work?
No, Lily and I pack up the car, and we always go back home to Florida. Thanksgiving, we just rent a big house, and it's like fucking 15 of us just raising hell. I got my uncle on his like DJ set because he's still stuck in like the early 2000s, like, you know, house music.
Yeah.
So he brings his old setup. I got, you know, families, brothers, cousins, uncles playing poker, yelling at each other because everybody's trying to take one, you know, everybody's money. I got my brother trying to catch a baby gator in the ponds with a blunt hanging out of his mouth. Like, there's a lot to unpack there when it comes to my family, that's for sure.
That's awesome. How's the family reacted to what the past 4 or 5 years have been? To where now you're like you're a public figure, a content creator. Now you're an artist, you're a touring artist, a recording artist.
Yeah. My mom and dad are used to it. Like when I get recognized, like especially here in Nashville, but if I'm like in Florida or something and I get recognized, they're so used to it. But I think it took like my older folks, like my Nana, my Papa,
yeah.
I don't think they understand it. Like, I remember sending this song, Who's Who, which is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
My Nana was like, Caitlin can sing? Like, she didn't realize, like, that was me singing and all that. I remember starting TikTok, and it was like an argument between my family. My Nana was like, this is very unladylike and all of that. Like, why are you posting like this? And why are you posting those type of pictures. Mind you, I wasn't posting any bad photos.
Nothing too risque. Yeah.
Yeah. Just simple, cute bikini pics. Like, I'm a grown woman, Nana. Like, I just had, I have a freaking 5-year-old kid, you know, but in her eye, you know, Southern woman. But it took them a while to come around and everything. And now they've never been more supportive than what they were. But in the beginning, they were not very supportive of me, my videos, TikTok, and all that. My mama was always supportive, though. So.
Well, she's probably always known, like, because you spent so much time with her where it's like,
she's the only babysitter I got. I got to pay her to come into town to watch her grandkid. But my mama has not missed a show yet. So it's been a very amazing to have my mama there. I remember showing her the first song that I cut and she cried on the phone.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but everyone's so supportive now. My uncle still probably gives me shit, but
that's what uncles are for.
Yeah.
It's all good. That's awesome. What you were talking about, like, the release is coming up and you're very excited. What do we have planned for the rest of this year? It's hard to believe that we're into April, May already. Like, we're already getting into the summer. Like,
I know. And 2026 is about to be here.
I know. It's
crazy. Where the fuck are the flying cars?
I know, right?
I was promised flying cars in the future.
Yeah, we got the self-driving ones, you know, but.
Have you seen all the shit that they do, the self-drive? I'm scared to get in a self-driving car.
I've been in them, and they're pretty good.
Really?
They're not bad, yeah. They're pretty safe. I mean, I never need to do it. I'm sober, so I'm like OGDD, so I'm always driving. But
I'd just be kind of nervous, man.
Yeah, about, you'd like, where is this thing going to take me kind of thing? Is that what you're nervous about?
Yeah, or like if it crashes into another car or something.
Oh, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. But what do we have as far as releases?
Go down a rabbit hole later of like self-driving cars later.
Oh, you strike me as somebody that's into the conspiracies. You probably
You should see my
dad.
Get on
Reddit and shit.
I was brought up that Elvis is still alive, living underneath a bridge or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My dad's weird, man.
Shout out, Dad.
No, the next releases, I got some pretty good songs in the bank. Like, I'm excited. Like I said, going back to my sound, it's like going to be mixed with that country soul grunge because at heart, I'm a rocker girl. Yeah. I love rock. I do. But just the upcoming songs are going to be very relatable and just like heartbreak too because I'm not done talking shit about my exes, okay? They fucked me over, okay? And I'm gonna T-Swift that ass, okay?
Hell yeah.
So the next songs, like, they're gonna be fun, and I think a lot of people can relate to them a lot. And I'll show you some when we end this.
Hell yeah. What do you like doing when you're not doing the music stuff or you're not working with your phone on the content grind? Like, what does Katie Dempsey like to do for fun?
Put this fucking phone on Do Not Disturb and
that's got to be the best feeling.
I want to just take this thing sometimes. My favorite thing to do if I have my baby girl with me, I love to honestly go sit barefoot in my backyard. I recently just got a trampoline.
Oh.
And I'm such a big person on like grounding yourself and breathing in, just living in the fucking moment.
Yeah.
I love doing that with my baby girl and not looking at my phone for hours. It's the best fucking feeling. Maybe like get one right, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and just enjoy where I'm at in life now. Like, I'm healthy. My daughter's healthy. You know what I mean? Like, I have a roof over my head and I was able to pay rent this month. So that's good.
Yeah.
But honestly, watching a good movie and cooking.
Ooh, what kind of movies do we like? Like, what are our...
I'm a classic girly. I love me some old Disney, Pixar. Or my daughter wanted to watch Fox and the Hound last night. I was like, hell no, that movie's sad as hell. I'm not watching that.
None of that old Yeller shit up in here.
Don't you dare put that on. But honestly, just hanging out with my baby girl, and if that's like going to go do a pottery class with her or going to go explore like a new restaurant.
Ooh, yeah.
Or a park. Or my favorite thing to do nowadays is go into a dog bar. It's not because I'm getting hammered at a dog bar, okay? It's a bunch of dogs, and it feels like a fever dream.
Yeah.
I love seeing at least 20 corgis in one room.
Oh, that's just electric.
I love the dog bar, but Lily and I do that. But honestly, just hanging out with my baby girl. Because this is work, right? Like a 9-to-5. So it's very important to me. And mind you, this took a long time to figure out a balance to not be on my phone when I have my daughter. So that's why, like, when she's in school, I'm on my phone at least for 6 hours. And I get everything I've fucking done. So the moment that I pick her up, my full attention is on her.
Yeah.
And everything. You know how, like, influencing kids and all that is, like, coming out? Like, the, what is it? There's, like, a study that's being brought on kids being raised as, like, influencers and everything. I will be damned if my kid, you know, has something, you know, negative to say. I don't want her to ever feel pressured that, oh, mommy was always on her phone and all that. So it's very important to me to set that time away and not be on this fucking thing.
Yeah, that is important. What restaurant, what kind of food do we like eating?
I'm not going to give away my secret spots.
Well, tell me, like, the genres of food, the types of
that
food
I cook that at like. Home.
Well, one, yeah, what's your favorite thing to cook? And then what kind of food do we like to go and eat?
I love making my at-home pastas with my white sauce.
Oh, like we're making Alfredo.
Cajun white sauce, peppers, onions. Like, what kind of noodles are we doing? You know, angel hair. Like, just being fun and creative with it at home. I mean, I'm out there fucking grilling.
Does Lily cook with you?
No,
she doesn't
eat my cooking either. She's very fucking picky.
She's very picky.
So I'll spend 4 hours in the kitchen, and she's like, I want mac and cheese.
Oh, she's like mac and cheese or chicken nuggets or one of those?
No, but Lily and I, we love finding good pizza restaurants. You know, hole in the wall, dude.
Yeah.
Hole in the wall. And honestly, I love going to like little dive hole in the walls. Like, I'm ordering food. My kid's on the pool stick. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. Yeah. It gives her character and culture, you know?
Yeah, you're raising her rowdy.
Yeah, pretty much. Like,
that is raised rowdy. You were raised rowdy. Your daughter is being raised rowdy.
Listen, like, I bet you she's the type. Let me put it in perspective of what my daughter is. She's the type that would be like, you got $20? And we'd be like, I can win that and take your fucking money. Oh, my kid. Yeah.
A little sharp.
I can't wait for you. Like, if she would be sitting right there right now, she would be over there in the corner going. She's the type that, like, if I ever start dating again, they're going to have to go through my daughter before they can date me.
Like, if some, like, back in high school, you got to go through you got to go through a girl's dad, but it's like, you got to get accepted. This is the first thing of approval. If, like, she don't like you, you got no shot.
It's not going to work out, bud. I'm telling you. She's going to be like, where do you live? What's your credit score? What do you do for a living? Do you got any pets? What kind of car do you drive? Like, literally.
At 9 years old.
At nine. When I say my daughter is very mature for her age. Granted, I'm the only one who's raised her, so must be doing something right. Kid's gonna be running corporations, hopefully, at the age of fucking 20. I don't know.
Yeah, no, she's doing.
She
the
might
damn
become
thing.
My manager when she's like, you know, 20 or something.
They always talk about, like, momagers. You'd have a daughtager.
Yeah, daughtager, dude.
A daughtager.
She always has something smart to say too. It's like about my cooking, cleaning, or, you know, anything. I'm like, damn, do you always have something smart to say? And she goes, yes. I was like,
that's
wild.
That's funny. What's something that you would tell Katie Dempsey when she's working your Dell Technologies gig and you start posting videos like on lunch break or doing all that stuff? What would you tell that young lady who's starting to get into social media about what the next 4 years would have in store for her?
I would look at her and be like, girl, you ain't gonna believe this shit. Literally, be like, just, you're not gonna fucking believe. If somebody would have told me back when I left my baby daddy and started a whole new life for myself, living on my mama's couch, you know, working doubles at the GOAT, shout out the GOAT in the Murfreesboro, working doubles, if myself came back and talked to her, I'd be like, girl, I know times are going to be so tough right now, but just keep doing it and pushing through because there's a whole lot in store for you. I just gave myself goosebumps. I would have looked at her and be like, I don't fucking believe you. I had a song charting on country music. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. But I think, you know, I'm the definition of, if you believe it, anything's possible. You know, I went from food stamps to red carpet. I mean, I got Shenandoah to say damps. What the fuck? My life's been made.
Food stamps to red carpet. That sounds like a title for something.
Yeah, and it's true. I just, the first time I did a red carpet appearance, interviewing for music, music videos. And that was the song that got nominated, Whiskey on You, that I was in.
Yep.
That video got nominated and everything. I wouldn't believe myself. Like, but I think it comes back to, like, if you're really passionate about something, fucking go do it.
Amen.
Who gives a fuck what anybody says? Yeah. Who gives a fuck what their opinions are? If you're happy and if it makes you happy, fucking do it.
Amen.
And I think that's where I'm at in my life with songwriting and releasing music. And my music's probably not for everyone, and that's okay. But I know there's at least 10 fuckers out there that are streaming that thing, you know? But I think it's all about just putting your feet on the ground and just finding your groove. Nobody knows what they're fucking doing in this world. You think my mama knows what she's doing? It's her first time living too. She don't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a good point.
So I think tomorrow I don't even know what I'm doing. But my God, I'm going to wake up, look at my Google calendar, and I'm going to try my best at it, whatever the fuck I'm booked for.
That's awesome. Well, hey, your story's one of inspiration. It's an awesome story to see where you started to where you're at now, where you're continuing to go, all through going through the struggles that you went through, and food stamps to red carpet.
Like, yeah, you can call this podcast this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, dead ass. Like, you're doing the damn thing, and you're not doing it anybody else's way. You're doing it your way that you want to do it. And you have a team around you, too. What's it been like having a support system of, like, a crew that's helping you get your music out there, that's helping you kind of manage all this chaos?
Honestly, I'm a one-man show. I don't have – people think I have a manager and all that. Nope. I'm a one-man show.
I meant like the record deal, like all of that stuff.
Oh.
On the music side. I know, like, you're handling a lot of your day-to-day stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's all me. But it's been very supportive and nice to help me navigate this music thing, because when it comes to song promotion, I know what I'm doing, okay?
Yes, you
give
know
me
how
the
to market
song
it.
And all that. I got you. But when it comes to you know, putting out a song, and like, I'm learning this side of the industry of like what all goes in of releasing a fucking song.
Yeah.
And I learned the hard way with Boy Bye and all that. But it's been very nice to have people around me like, hey, Dimps, this is what you need to do. This is how you do it and everything. Because going into this blindly, you will do it. You will make some hiccups. But I think it all comes back to having a good support system and team around you. That's for sure.
Yeah. What's the big goal for 2025? What's 2025 the year of? Because it seems like 2024 was the year of getting the music out there. And now we're a year into Demps the recording artist. What is 2025? What's like the big goal for you?
The big goal is that, well, I don't know if I'm allowed. I'll fuck it. I'll go ahead and say it. I'm going on a tour this summer, a headlining tour. So that's going to be amazing. I think just to do good at that tour, all 18 shows, and putting out an EP just songs that I've written. I mean, I love, don't get me wrong, I love taking outside songs, but these songs that I've written, now I know why Dolly calls all her songs her babies, you know, because they're my babies, you know. I've never went to therapy, so this is my therapy. I'm putting my whole heart into these and everything. So releasing an EP and going on tour and just honestly living life better than what I'm doing now. And it shouldn't be too hard, right?
No, you got this.
Shouldn't be too
you
hard.
You got this shit.
I don't know. Maybe, who knows? I had a psych, what is it? A psych reading.
Oh, really?
Like a tarot reading.
How was that?
A couple weeks ago. She told me that I am either going to be signing a long life contract or I'm finding the love of my life soon.
Which is also a long life contract.
I don't know. So I'm every day I wake up and I'm like, is today the day? And that was 2 weeks ago. So from 2 weeks ago till now in June, something is coming. So I'm like, am I getting marry? Like, are you just gonna take me away from all this? Like, what? Like, what's up, dude? Like, what do you got in store for me?
That's so awesome.
I don't know. Just the goal of 2025 is just to, you know, play these shows good and well, and put out an EP.
Hell yeah.
And have my daughter side stage the whole time.
Oh, yeah. She'll be in VIP for sure.
Mommy, I need another Coke.
She'll be running the guest list.
Yeah. I don't see her name on here.
You'll be running the meet and greet. That'll be awesome. Hell yeah. Well, sis, I appreciate you so much for coming out here and hanging. Glad you and you seem to be enjoying the Surfside. They're good. We're going to send you home with an 8-pack of them.
They're good. These distributed in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. There you can get them. You can get them all over the place. Yeah, they're here.
Publix?
I don't know if they're in Publix because they got the vodka in them. So you got to kind of go to the liquor store. Ah. Like Frugal McDougal, those kind of places.
Frugal McDougal.
Always there.
Had fun nights there.
Always. Lord. Well, sis, I appreciate you so much for coming on. Excited for what you've got coming out the rest of this year and loving the songs that you have out. And congrats on everything. Seriously. It's not easy to be on the journey that you're on and be making the waves that you've been making, but you're doing the damn thing, girl.
I'm going to go home and take a nap.
Hey, same, bro. Same. But I feel that.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, and anything we can ever do in the Raise Your Addy family, you know, we're always here for you. Right. We got your back, sis.
Do a video to Boy Bye.
You're going to have to teach me how to do that. That's the one thing I don't know how to do. I know how to do like these interview things. I know how to MC on a stage.
Shake it.
I don't know how to do TikTok dances. I don't have that. I danced on the back of a beer pong table at the Auburn Rodeo this weekend. So I'm getting there.
Let me see a video of that.
I'll show you after. I'll show you. We got it. But y'all be sure to check out our girl Dems. If you're not following her already, you're living under a damn rock. And go check out the music. She's got some great songs out. Boy Bye is out now. And she's got some new songs coming as well. And it sounds like she's going to be hitting the road. So be on the lookout and get you some tickets to hang out with Dems and Lilybug. They'll be out there on the road. As always, visit RaiseRowdy.com for more on us. And check out our friends at Surfside. For my girl Dems, I'm Matt Burrell. This has been Outside the Round.
Been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave. So if you know